That last hymn, new to me, but boy, the words in that were tremendous, tremendous. I had to say amen to it. Good to see each and every one here this evening for our Christmas message. Some time ago, I was reading a magazine and it said that a website had been created under the title, What's in a Name? Now, I wasn't sure what a website was in those days, but I soon learned. But what's in a name? What's in a name? And apparently, reading on in the magazine, that they got 1.6 million hits within a short time, which showed that many, many people were interested in knowing what's in a name. Many were, of course, expectant parents and looking to see what names were available and perhaps suitable for their child. And then there were those that were looking to see exactly what was behind their own name, seeing a deeper meaning than perhaps just an identity. The phrase, of course, what's in a name, was made famous by Shakespeare in his play Romeo and Juliet. And you that know your Shakespeare will remember that Juliet and her boyfriend were in problems because there was no way that Juliet's family was going to accept Romeo because of his surname. They were enemies to Juliet's family, and so there was no way that there was going to be an association there. And Juliet, she couldn't understand. And she said, and I'm using my words now, that a rose that smells like a rose and as sweet as a rose by any other name is a rose. It didn't matter to her what a name was. Now, we have many cultures here this evening, and I guess we would have different opinion of what's in a name. Quite frankly, from my background, Anglo-Saxon, there's only two reasons associated with a name. One is perhaps an ancestor, like my great-grandfather was named James, my grandfather was named James, my father was named James, my brother was named James, and his son was named James. Don't know why, but James was in the dynasty somewhere. Or alternatively, like I was given the name just as pure to identify me among other people. But others, as I say, among cultures, it might mean much deeper. It certainly was deeper in Scripture. A name mentioned in Scripture is very, very important. It associates with the character of that person, the personage of that person, and the intended ambition and expectations of that person. It began with God himself. God reveals himself. If you go through Scripture, you'll find that he uses different names at different times to show how he's relating in character to the people he's dealing with. And there's hundreds of them, literally. But we just have a sample. If you go back to the very first mention of God, it's Elohim. Elohim, which is plural in the Hebrew, which is three or more. And it's in association with creation, because there's three personages of the Godhead involved in creation, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we have also El Shaddai, which is where God uses it in relation to Abraham, where he would protect him and guide him, and it means God Almighty, or Almighty God, if you like. And then coming to the one that will lead us into where we're going is another one that God uses is Jehovah. Jehovah, which means I am that I am, I am. He is the all-sufficient God. And he became the God, the name associated with God, with his people, by which he was going to bring eventually Christ into this world, starting with Abraham. And there he uses the name Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide, which is a very interesting subject in itself. But we must go on, because God was going to bring his son, Christ, at the appropriate time into this world. And he was going to distinguish him to the parents and to the people and to us by his names. And I'm thinking of two in particular taken from Matthew's gospel, which relate to where Joseph is told by an angel that his name will be called Jesus. And he's going to be called Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. But he's also going to be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which is a name that was prophesied some 700 years prior by the prophet Isaiah, that indeed the Christ would be called Emmanuel. Now there's two names there, and they're associated and they're closely needed, because the first one tells us what his intentions were. And the intentions were to save his people from their sins. But only God can forgive sins. So we have to have the other name, which is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that speaks of his person. One speaks of what he's going to do, the other speaks of his person. And he was given this name, and there were seven names given by God before the arrival of child in Scripture, and this is the last one. If we get to the parallel story in Luke, we find that Mary was also told before the birth exactly what the baby had to be named, and that included Jesus. Because what's in the name is so important in Scripture and in relation to our eternal destiny. Because Jesus means Jehovah saves, or Joshua in the Hebrew. Now there's a lot of Joshuas, and there was a lot of people named Jesus, but they didn't have Emmanuel associated with it, not God, to deal with the sin problem associated with his name. Now, why do we need to be saved from our sins? Why? Because sin brings death, death brings judgment, judgment brings penalty. Penalty is an eternity with our God and is quite terrible to even discuss. So a name can help us to be saved from that. Now, how does it happen? How did it happen? He came as a babe. Could a babe save us from our sin? No. No. Could a young boy growing up save us from our sin? No. Could a man ministering, preaching, changing water into wine, helping the sick, healing the lame? Could he save people like that? No. He had to go, as that last hymn said, to the cross. To the cross. He had to die for our sins. Christ died for our sins, which is above my head. Christ died for them. But he rose again. And rising again, he made it possible for sins to be forgiven and for death to have no more power or fear, because he rose again from the dead. Now, if we go to our next one, scripture in the Acts, we find, we've gone one too far, I think, but in the scripture in the Acts, it says that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the previous scripture, we found that he would save his people from their sin. His people, of course, was the Jewish people, because they had first preference in view that Christ was coming through the Jewish nation. But now we find in the Acts of the Apostles, soon after that the Lord Jesus ascended back into heaven, anyone that called upon the name of the Lord Jesus would have salvation. And what is salvation? It's the opposite to what the sin is. It brings forth forgiveness of sins, delivery from the judgment of God, delivery from the penalty associated with death. But most of all as well, it brings eternal life. Eternal life evermore with God. And you get a picture of that in the last chapter of this book. Beautiful. No more sorrow, no more pain. Nothing like that. Complete paradise. But it has to be, if we go now to the last one, it has to be through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way that we can attain salvation. The only name is Jesus Christ. Now, how do we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus? What we do is when we approach God, we say that we come in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we accept that he is the Son of God, that he came and paid for the penalty for our sin. There's no other name. You know, some years ago I was in Singapore and in a hotel. And in the morning I thought, well, I'll have a look at the Gideon Bible. And I went there and I found that there was four books. I had four books to choose from. And I won't name which ones were, but three from others and plus the Word of God. And I thought, well, I know very little, if anything, about these other ones, but I know quite a bit about this one, because I know exactly what is written comes true. And you know, if I went into Genesis chapter 3, I find that there God said that he's going to deal with the sin situation through the seed of the woman. And then progressively down through those pages, we find much about that person who we know as the Lord Jesus, including exactly where he would be born. 700 years before he was born, it was written in this book. So I can trust this book, and I can trust the name of the Lord Jesus. Christmas is, and with this I will close, a time, of course, we're given. The whole concept of the Christian message, of course, is that a loving, gracious, holy God, who no man has ever seen, gave his son, who many people did see and incidentally touched, as a gift to mankind in the method of obtaining salvation. A gift. And that's why we have gifts. And the children here will be waiting tomorrow for their gifts. And you know, when we were younger parents, we made the mistake of putting the presents on the end of the bed as we went to bed ourselves. And we were woken up about 3 or 4 in the morning, all the chatter and jabber with four children tearing open. We made the mistake of that. But you know, I was clearing out this week, and I came across a Christmas present I received in 1972. Now you say, why 72? Because we'd been in Alice Springs, and when we came back, the people sent us. Now I've opened it, and it smells just exactly in 1972, and you can check it out. But you know, it's a shower soap that you hang on. You know, I have never, ever used it. I was going to use it, I meant to use it, but I never used it. And that, you know, sadly is what happens with the gift of God. The gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's there, people have a look. Oh, I'll use that, I'll keep that, I'll have that. Keep it for a better day. But I'm running out of time. And I must use it soon. And the message tonight, and this I close, is that with all the excitement of Christmas, we need to take a quiet look at times and see, what is our eternal destiny? Do we want eternal life, which we can have through just believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus? Or are we going to leave it for a time? Let's just have a word of prayer for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the gift of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the Holy Spirit that indeed will convict us of our sin if we let him. And we ask that if there is anyone here this evening that is under conviction, would indeed accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. Amen. Thank you very much, and I'll hand back to Ernie. If anyone is, of course, convicted of their sin, do not leave the premise before, but see someone that you trust in. Thank you.